After 60 years of separation, is the dream of a reunited Korea over? New research suggests South Korean youth no longer want to join with the North. The two Koreas couldn't be more opposite. One is a closed-off dictatorship, the other a thriving Western-style economy. So have they grown too far apart? We're joined by Dr. Emma Campbell, visiting fellow at the Australian National University College of Asia and the Pacific. Good morning, Doctor. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thank you. So it seems unlikely now, but when the two countries first split, was there the belief they would one day reunite?
Oh, yes. On both sides of the border, there was a strong hope for unification, and that hope, I think, for unification still remains strong in the north, but is now weakened considerably in the south. But throughout the decades of division, you saw very strong South Korean movements, particularly amongst young people, calling for unification with North Korea. And my book shows just how that has changed over the last 10 or 20 years.
Okay, so tell us about some of the reasons why young people, especially in South Korea, no longer want to reunite with those in the North.
Well, I think what my research showed was young people in South Korea really are just not interested in North Korea. Their life is so intense, so competitive because of the very demanding and tough education system that they face in South Korea. And on top of that, they face a very neoliberal, globalized labor market where finding long-term secure unemployment is becoming increasingly difficult. And so with that comes difficulties with getting married and buying a home and so on. And when you face that kind of intensity in your daily life, trying to survive, trying to study enough to get to the best university, doing a second or third degree in order to try and secure that permanent job with Samsung, you have no time to think about things like North Korea, firstly, and secondly, no appetite for the kind of risk that unification would bring when your life is already very uncertain and challenging.
So in a lot of ways, just that sort of importance of reuniting with the North has kind of lost its way, I guess, through other things becoming more important and the busy lives that they lead.
Yeah, and a lot of that has come through the development, the globalization of South Korea. And on top of that lack of interest or fear, you also have South Koreans now who are incredibly cosmopolitan, incredibly sophisticated. You see in Australia huge numbers of young South Koreans coming here to study or to work. Levels of English in South Korea are extremely high, as we all know through our Samsung phones, our Hyundai cars, our LG appliances. South Korea is an extremely successful, developed, modern economy. And South Koreans now have a lot more in common with someone like you or I from Australia or from the US than they do with their so-called ethnic brethren in North Korea. And they're discovering this because they're traveling, and they're discovering this because more and more North Koreans have made it to the South, and South Koreans are meeting North Koreans and realizing, actually, the ethnic similarity is not sufficient to make me feel like I'm part of the same nation with this person from the North.
Yeah, on that point, we do hear stories of people defecting from the North to the South. How are they treated when they do get there in South Korea?
I think the intention there is to welcome people from the North. But there is, I think, increasing there's often a lack of sympathy towards people from the North because many South Koreans are struggling. They find it rather unfair that North Koreans often receive so much support from the government. There's a rather patronizing view to North Koreans that demands North Koreans fit in into the South, and when they don't, because they don't show these signs of sophistication and globalization and cosmopolitanism, they're often seen as a source of fun sometimes or sympathy. And they often find it very difficult to find work, to marry, and so on. Now, of course, there are some North Koreans that have quietly found their way in South Korea, particularly women who've married South Korean men. But as the numbers of North Koreans increase in the South, you see this division between North Koreans and South Koreans, and they increasingly find themselves at the bottom of the social ladder.
All right, we'll leave it there. But Dr. Emma Campbell, thanks so much for talking to us on 2SER this morning. Fascinating stuff.
Thank you.
That is Dr. Emma Campbell, a visiting fellow at the Australian National University College of Asia and the Pacific, talking to us about the difference, I guess, in opinions between North and South Korea. Often it is a very strong and militaristic sort of dialogue, but there was the dream that the two countries would reunite under one Korea for many, many years, but that is looking less and less likely, especially when you speak to the cosmopolitan youth of South Korea. Really interesting stuff.